There's a snowstorm outside. I don't know if you guys can hear that. We got the wind whipping around. We got 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. My car is completely covered. And so far, the power has been able to stay on. Fingers crossed. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, December 16, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster, and thank you for making me your choice for your Dynamite coverage here tonight. We're going to talk about Dynamite. We're going to talk about Impact, because there was kind of a big development on Impact Wrestling last night involving the AEW World Champion. You didn't really hear it mentioned, or at least if they did, it was brief tonight, but we're going to get into that. I didn't think AEW would do a million live viewers on the show last week. They didn't, although we're quibbling over a few thousand viewers. They did 995,000. So they came close, but they didn't quite make the cut. But AEW was a lot happier about their ratings last week than WWE is about their ratings this week. That much I can tell you. A lot of very unhappy people in Titan Tower this week. And I'll save that for the TLC prediction stream. Probably going to take place tomorrow night. And for sure on episode 683 this Sunday, we'll save all that stuff for then. Tonight's show felt like a filler show. Really was not an episode of Dynamite that felt, it didn't have that sense of urgency or excitement like some of the shows a few weeks ago had. This was, in large part, a filler episode of Dynamite, but it was an important one. I'm going to tell you why. As I'm watching the show and as I'm watching, you know, the tag matches and a lot of the new faces that were featured on the show tonight, mixed in with them, you know, were a lot of the bigger names, right? Sting made a very, very brief, absurdly brief, given that they advertised him, appearance on the show tonight. Chris Jericho. I mean, you can go up and down the list, the different teams like SCU, a lot of veterans on the show. And if you really look at what they did here on the show tonight, you can see, and I made a whole list of them to make sure I didn't forget any of them. But up and down the card, what you see are these veterans working with the younger guys. In some cases, maybe they're putting them over. In other cases, it may just be that they're working with them. They're you know, tagged up with them, whatever the case may be. We saw it in the opening match, Matt Hardy and Private Party. Matt Hardy and Private Party, Hardy Party. Matt's been their protege, right, this mentorship that he's been having with Private Party. They were in the opening match. That's one example. You look a little bit later on, you had Powerhouse Hobbs, the one guy who would not stand down from Sting. They had to hold him back. Everybody else was terrified of Sting and the baseball bat, but he was ready to go right after him. And Hobbs is a newer guy. That's another example of it. Even Sting looking up at Darby, right? They're continuing that story. What is his infatuation with Darby Allin? I don't know that it's a match. It could be that he respects him. It could be that he sees a little bit of himself in him. So we'll see where that's going. But, you know, him looking up at Darby almost as the star of the future, almost like he's trying to pass the proverbial, instead of the baton, he's trying to pass the bat, right? So they have that going on. You've got the 12-man tag. We had a whole bunch of young talents in the match tonight. Top Flight, Brian Pillman Jr., Griff Garrison. Right? Up and down the card, we see all these new faces featured. Anthony Bowens and Max Caster got a win tonight over SCU. Now, granted, they had a cheat to win, but they are the heels. But the veterans putting over the new guys, and then they go out there and they're punking out the Young Bucks for a tag team title match. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to establish the new acts. They're trying to establish the younger faces on this show, and they're trying to use the old guard to get it done. And that is the best possible use of a Chris Jericho, of an SCU, of a Dustin Rhodes, or Sting, when it comes to stuff like that, because you've got to get these newer faces over that, you know, the casual audience who may have heard, oh, Sting's going to be on Dynamite, I'm going to tune in. Who the hell are these guys? They don't know who any of these new guys are. You don't want them to tune in for Sting and then leave when Sting is not there. The whole point of bringing a guy like Sting in should be to familiarize the new audience with the newer guys. You want those people to stay. Because Sting shouldn't be there every week. I didn't think Sting should be there this week. But that was a common thread throughout the entire show, and I thought that was a really positive part of Dynamite tonight. I was not a big fan of the show excitement-wise. You know, I was pretty nonplussed by the whole show, to be honest with you. It wasn't a bad episode. There just didn't feel like anything that was really there to get me excited. But if you're looking at it, the bigger picture, long-term, look at every segment, almost every single match on this show. And what AEW is doing with their veterans, what they're doing with the old guard trying to help get the new guard over, that's how you build the future of your company. You've already got the key pieces there. You've got MJF, and you've got Darby Allin, and you've got Hangman Page, and all of these other guys, Ricky Starks, Will Hobbs, Jungle Boy. They have people on the roster who could go on to carry this company, but you've got to build them up. You've got to get people like, who are these guys? Give them more TV time. Let them show more personality and give them some wins. So I thought it was a productive show. Makes sense? Good. Let's get through it. Let's get through this card here. Before we do, though, we have to talk about Impact. Now, you're not going to hear me say that very often. No, I did not watch anything on Impact outside of the parts involving Kenny Omega. I can't do it. I'm sorry. They have some talented guys there. I can't get into it. I can't do it. There's just not enough time in the week for me to even invest time in that. We've been down this road with Impact before. I'm glad that people, you know, the Impact fans seem to enjoy it, and they think it's a good product, and that's great. Focusing, though, on what they did with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega and Don Callis did make another appearance on Dynamite this week. This was a more eventful appearance than it was the previous week. The Tony Khan, Tony Schiavone thing, it just felt like more of just a rehash of what they did the week before. I thought Tony Schiavone was actually pretty entertaining in this. He was taking little pot shots at Access TV. Who has Access TV? Who even knows what Access TV is? You know, when Impact goes off, stay tuned for your local public access shows. Like, he was taking little pot shots at the TV network. But Tony Khan, and I said last week, I said, I don't need to see Tony Khan on Dynamite, but if Tony Khan wants to make these appearances and these types of segments on Impact, that's fine, but you got to change it up. I didn't think that there was much different about what he did this week as compared to the week before. So I really wasn't overly impressed by that. But the Kenny Omega stuff, kind of important. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows, right? Buddy-buddy with Kenny Omega back in the day, all former members of the Bullet Club. So we saw a little bit of a Bullet Club reunion last week with Omega and Karl Anderson at the pay-per-view. Impact had a pay-per-view. On Impact last night, Karl Anderson got a win in the main event over Chris Sabin, and he cheated to win. And this did not sit well with Rich Swann. Rich Swann is the Impact World Champion, and he was calling out Anderson when the match was over in the back, like, what are you doing, man? What was that? What was that all about? And the Motor City Machine Guns came over. There was a big attack. Luke Gallows came in. He knocked them all down. Kenny Omega came over. He hit Rich Swann in the head with a sign. I don't remember what the sign said. It was some kind of road sign or plastic sign. Knocked him out. And he knelt over him with the AWA or the that would be if he knelt over him with the AWA title. I know he's trying to be the belt collector. I don't think that belt is going to be on his list. But he was kneeling over him with the AEW title, and they made a match. This is the first interpromotional match now of these two companies working together. Impact is going to have a pay per view and actually have a shot from the end of the show, because we did get a little bit of a Bullet Club reunion, which was kind of cool, I guess. And if you're a big Bullet Club fan, there you go. There you see the Omega and Anderson and Gallows. So we got a little bit of a Bullet Club reunion there at the end of Impact. But the match has been made for the hard-to-kill pay-per-view. The hard-to-kill pay-per-view coming up on January 16th. Rodimus Prime! Rodimus Prime with the Vince McMahon losing $100 million super chat. That is the face of a man right there who realizes that his bank account, well, I mean, I don't cry for him, but poor bastard lost a lot of money with those two Senate campaigns. Thank you for the $50, man. I appreciate that. and I'm going to get to your super chat here in a little bit. Jason in the chat says it was a wet floor sign. I'll take your word for it. Anyway, Hard to Kill, January 16, that is the date. Kenny Omega is going to team up with Anderson and Gallows. He's going to team up with the Good Brothers to take on Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. So we are getting our first interpromotional match. This is the first step, I am sure, of what is going to eventually be a singles match with Kenny Omega and Rich Swann. You know, hey, maybe it's the main event at Revolution in February. I had that pegged as a rematch with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega, and Omega winning again. Maybe it's not Moxley. Maybe they don't want to do the rematch. Maybe they don't want to beat Jon Moxley a second time. Maybe it's going to be some sort of AEW against Impact, champion against champion, winner take all. Kenny Omega against Rich Swann. Kenny Omega against Rich Swann sounds like a hell of a match. And that could be the place where Kenny Omega adds some hardware. It's a great spot for Impact, for their world title to be featured on AEW programming. So it's just a thought. We are going to get the match. I have no doubt that we're going to get the match. I don't know if it's going to be at Revolution, but winner take all is my suggestion. Again, what does Impact have to lose? The bad news for Impact, the answer is nothing. Because as much as they benefited from the little Omega bump they got on their show last week, unfortunately, it didn't rub off again for them this week. It did not happen 2 weeks in a row. The TV ratings on Access fell back down to the normal range. So the week before Kenny Omega's appearance, Impact did 166,000 viewers on Access TV. Last week, they were up to 221,000. This week, they were back down to 177,000. On Twitch, this week, last night, they were down 72% from their peak when Omega first showed up on Impact a week ago. So, still better than what they were doing on Twitch before, but you see the drop from 1 week to the next. And what that means is that what people saw when they put Impact on did not appeal to them. It did not hold them. It did not grab them. It didn't work. So going forward, they'll have to come up with a plan B. I don't know what that is. Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order against Matt Hardy and Private Party. That was the opening match tonight. Silver and Reynolds, they walked out wearing cowboy gear, looking like a couple of geeks. But that is the Dark Order, right? Dork Order. There's a reason why people call them the Dork Order. I like John Silver. He is entertaining. I don't get to see all the stuff he does on Being the Elite, but I've seen enough of his stuff. I can see why he has the following he does. So, you know, whatever. He comes out and Hangman looks more bemused by all of this than anything else. Hangman flattens Isaiah Cassidy with a lariat for a near fall. Matt Hardy made a blind tag, hit the side effect for two. This all built to Reynolds and Silver were running wild here. And it looked like at one point they had this match won. Matt Hardy, though, reaches in and pulls him out of the ring before the count of three. And he hits John Silver with a twist of fate. Hopefully John Silver's okay. He was holding his knee. Basically, he was draped over the apron. And Hardy gave him a twist of fate on the floor, and then he grabbed his knee. So hopefully that was just him selling the move. A little weird that he would grab his knee, though. But they hit gin and juice to Alex Reynolds. Matt Hardy blind tags himself in so that he can take the pin. Which is kind of similar to what they did a little bit later on in the show with MJF. I don't know that that was a blind tag, but maybe a little too similar. Maybe don't do the same kind of spot on the same show, but Matt Hardy gets the win. This is part of his new gimmick. It's all about Matt. He's totally full of himself. I don't know if he's going to end up turning Private Party heel with him or they're going to turn against him, but we'll see where this new Matt Hardy stuff goes. I thought it was a fun match. Look, Hangman is definitely being phased down for the time being. There's no doubt about it. I mean, as hot as he may have been a few months ago, he definitely has cooled off. The timing is just not right, you know, to elevate him to that next level. Kenny Omega just won the world title. You're not taking that title off of him for a very long time. Darby Allin is another babyface. He's the TNT champion, so he really can't go after that title right now. So if he can't go after the two top titles in the company, you got to find something for the guy to do. You can't just keep him off TV. So they have him in this Dark Order angle where, you know, the Dark Order is trying to recruit him. I assume Brody Lee is still out with an ankle injury. He has been gone for a very long time. I was under the impression it wasn't serious, but the guy's been off TV for like 2 months. So I don't know how serious the injury is or not. They might be setting up for a program with him and Hangman when Brody Lee comes back. Maybe Brody Lee doesn't want him in the Dark Order. But clearly they have phased him down, and that's fine. If that's how it has to be for now, then so be it. When you start to get fans, I'm not talking about the 1,000 people at Daly's Place. Eventually, when AEW is able to get back on the road, and you get more and more people back in the buildings, and we try to get a little bit back to normal, for fuck's sake, I hope so. My God, they're making the most of these shows, but, you know, I'm dying to get people back in the buildings. When it's appropriate to do so, and you have people back in the buildings, and you're back on the road, and you're going to these different towns, and you're going to these different cities, you can begin to build Hangman Page back up again. People like him. I think the people are going to go, you know, they're going to go nutty for him again like they were doing before. But yeah, for now, you got to cool him off because there's no other obvious program for him. There is no other obvious opponent for him right now. So they have him doing this stuff. Wait till crowds start to really come back, and then he can inch his way back up the ladder. And he'll always have the program with Kenny Omega to revisit, whether you bring the two of them back together. And he could be the one that Omega ultimately drops that title to, but not for, I mean, I'm looking far down the road. I'm looking 6 months to a year. That's what I'm looking at. Because the stuff with Omega, you're going to ride that out as long as possible. As long as his shoulder holds up. Remember, he's got the torn labrum. As long as his shoulder holds up, and as long as, you know, he's got some buzz going on around him, you just got to ride that wave. Take your time with it. Don't take the title off him. Don't rush it. Cody against Angelico. What's going on, Oz and Glorious? In the chat, just dropped a super chat. Actually, let me just get to some of the early ones here so we don't fall too far behind. Oh, we got a whole bunch of them. Thank you, guys. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Look at this. Yeah, let's knock a few of these out. EJ. EJ's joining us tonight. Today I watched the Flair Funk I Quit match. For the first time, amazing match and feud. It reminded me a little bit of Moxley and Omega. Do you agree? You're probably going to get a lot of people really upset by making that comparison. I mean, I could see maybe a few comparisons, but when you look back on the classics like that, honestly, there's really nothing going on right now that I think is comparable to that kind of stuff that I can think of. So yeah, maybe there's some similarities, but I don't know that I would make that comparison. Flair and Funk, Flair and Steamboat, Flair and everybody kind of stands alone. There's nothing going on right now that makes me think, hey, this reminds me of Ric Flair and this guy. I mean, that stuff was just, it was a different time. It was just on another level. I don't know that I would say that. Abdul Rahman, got to give the flat earther what they want. Are we talking about me? I ain't no flat earther. And the True Heel Master, Monday Night Raw can kick rocks. It always feels good to watch Wednesday Night Dynamite. So we had Cody Rhodes against Angelico. Now, they aired a vignette before the match with Cody and Brandy. They were at home. They were decorating the Christmas tree. They had their son with them, their son Pharaoh. Actually, I guess it's Cody's son. That's Cody's dog. Brandy has her own dog. But they had this vignette, and the payoff is at the very end. They open this gift box, and in the gift box is a note. I forgot what object was inside, but it had a message that they're expecting their first child in 2021. So Cody and Brandy are expecting. I was laughing because, like, the way that Cody, you know, and his wife announced that they were having a kid here, right? They went through this whole vignette that they put together and the message in the box. Compare that to the way that Jon Moxley announced to the world that his wife was pregnant. It was just inserted into the middle of a promo on Eddie Kingston. Was it Eddie Kingston or Kenny Omega? It might have been Kingston. Where he just inserted that line in there. He's like, oh, by the way, I got a pregnant wife at home. And then he just moved on. This is like, I'm just going to slip a little mention in there and just kind of move on from it. So two very different ways of making the baby announcement here on TV. But I guess this ends the Jade Cargill storyline. So all that stuff with Shaq last week, Shaq got water thrown on him. He had this woman call him an overgrown asshole. And it was all for nothing. It was all for absolutely nothing. So if you were not a fan of the Jade Cargill Brandy stuff, then you are. It's doubly good news. Congrats to the happy couple. And now you get spared from the storyline. There you go. Cody hit a pump kick and went for a backslide for a near fall. But look at that. Talk about perfect timing on that. The Brandy Rhodes. Was that the face she made when she found out that she was pregnant? I hope not. She seemed very happy tonight. This is her disgusted face. I swear, you can't time these things any better. Cody hit a pump kick, went for a backslide, and Helico countered the disaster kick into a dragon screw. Locked on the Navarro death roll. I only knew the name of it. I've seen the move before. I didn't know the name, but Excalibur, he's there with the names. Thankfully, he didn't have to narrate any pile drivers here on the show tonight. This was the Navarro death roll. So you can't really fuck that up on commentary. Cody reached the ropes. Cody won with a step up Cody cutter off the top rope. Great sell by Angelico, too. He sold the shit out of that Cody cutter. Cody picks up the win. After the match, here comes Team Taz. Team Taz has grown. Used to be three guys. Now it's like five or six people that come out. You got Ricky Starks. You got Brian Cage. You got Powerhouse Hobbs. You had, I swear to God, I thought it was Marco Stunt. But I guess that's Hook. That's Taz's son. Hey, it looks like Marco Stunt to me. It's like, what? When did Marco Stunt join Team Taz? I'm like, oh, okay, that's Taz's son. And Taz came out to congratulate Cody on their pregnancy. And he said, how come there was no congratulations for Cage and Ricky Starks? Ricky Starks said, yeah, you know, me and Cage, we made you and Darby our sons. And where was our congratulations? And Team Taz was about to come to the ring to attack Cody. Darby was watching from the rafters. That's his new home. All of a sudden, the lights went out. Winter has come, right? The snow and the bird on the screen, and here comes Sting. And Sting comes walking out. Sting brandishes the baseball bat. Because at this point, I'm thinking, before he took the bat out, I'm like, all right, if these guys run away from this guy again, this is just fucking ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, because at least when Sting would come out in his heyday during the NWO stuff, and you had one guy beating up 15 or 20 different people. I mean, let's be honest. That was ridiculous, too. But you could excuse it because the people went apeshit for it. It just worked, right? But he also had a baseball bat. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to fuck with a guy. I don't care if he's 21 years old or 61 years old. You can at least argue, okay, the guy's got a baseball bat. You know what? I'm not going to fuck with them. I'm going to back away. And that's what they did, except one person, and that person was Will Hobbs. Will Hobbs was ready to go and just tear Sting limb from limb. They had to hold him back. And I like that. I like the fact that he didn't go running scared like everybody else. They had to hold the new guy back. So I thought that probably was the best part of all of this, because that was literally the only thing that Sting did on the entire show. They promoted another Sting appearance. Sting speaks. Sting never spoke. Never said a word. Literally, all he did was walk out of the tunnel, and he held his bat up, and then he looked up at Darby Allin. I think he winked at Cody. I guess that was his way of congratulating Cody. And he walked to the back. This is the easiest job in the world for this guy. I would love to know what kind of contract he got for these appearances. This is amazing. Yeah, we used to joke about these Saudi Arabia matches, and the money that The Undertaker and Goldberg would get for like 3 minutes of work. But this is just the easiest job in the world. You get to fly down to Florida, put your face paint on, come out, you point your bat, you smile, you give Tony Schiavone a hug, and you go home. $1 million. Where can I find that work? I'll paint myself up. I'll put whatever paint on my face you want me to put on. But he did look up at Darby. Darby was staring back down at him. And look, I said earlier, I don't think this is leading to a match. Unless it was a tag match. I think this is more their way of eventually having Sting put Darby over, you know, pass the bat, so to speak. Or maybe he'll literally pass the bat to Darby at some point. And Darby will be the, you know, he'll be endorsed by Sting. He's like, you know, you're the AEW version of what I was in WCW, or, you know, something like that. My issue with this is, the more that they advertise Sting for these shows, Sting should not be appearing on the show every week. There really was no reason for Sting to be on the show this week. Sting debuted. It was a big surprise. They promoted his next appearance for the following week. And he came out last week and he was all buddy-buddy, right, with Tony Schiavone, and he put his arm around Cody. And then they should have given Sting a rest for a week or two. Better yet, promote Sting's next appearance for the first Dynamite in 2021, which is the second half of that New Year's Bash special, the night that Snoop Dogg is going to be there, right? Sting and Snoop on the show together. I don't like the fact that they're putting him on the show so far. It's 3 weeks in a row. Sting does not have to be on the show every single week. And if you're going to advertise Sting, the more that he comes out and does nothing like he did tonight, people are watching. They're hoping that he's going to say something. He's going to do something. He's going to tell us, okay, why are you here? Every time you advertise him and he does nothing, people are going to become less and less interested in wanting to see him. And his appearances are not going to mean that much. This guy is special. I don't need to see him wrestling, but okay, he can have a role on the show, but not every single week. If you don't have anything really good planned for him, let him skip a week or two. You know, keep people waiting and wanting to see him. That's my main issue with this. Sting did not have to be on the show tonight. He didn't really do much. Give him a week off. Keep the guy special. Miro was interviewed in the back by Alex Marvez. He was asked about beating up a whole bunch of AEW security people last week. He was apparently fined $75,000, $25,000 per person. He gave the worst possible answer you could give when Marvez pressed him on, why do you hate Orange Cassidy so much? So here we saw Miro at the end of the show last week, like killing people, right? He took that one guy, he threw him off the stage. He looked like a monster who escaped the zoo. And here, like, why do you hate Orange Cassidy so much? And his answer was, well, he goes, because he doesn't care about all the important things like subscribers and likes and ratings and all that Twitch stuff, I guess, that, you know, is important to people like Miro on Twitch. And then it just brought it right back down for me. You know, it's like, last week we saw Miro the Ripper. And this week it was back to Miro the Twitch streamer. I wish they would just tone that down on TV and focus more on Miro the Ripper. Let's get a little bit more of that Miro. But it sounds like we're getting closer and closer to the end of this wedding nonsense. Next week, they are promoting a big announcement about the wedding for Kip Sabian and Penelope. And I guess he'll also be wrestling on AEW Dark. He's going to be facing Sonny Kiss. Eddie Kingston came out to confront his enemies. And he talked about Pac. He injured his neck. Where's Pac? And then I realized, yeah, we haven't seen Pac in a few weeks. He said he went back home. He's not ever coming back. And then he was pivoting over to Lance Archer. And I thought, well, that sucks because maybe he did have to go back to the UK or, you know, wherever he was previously. I assume he was back home. Maybe there was a reason he had to go back home. And now he's going to be gone again. Thankfully, that was not the case. I was very relieved to see Pac show up 2 minutes later. So he mentions Lance Archer by name. Archer immediately comes out. No Jake with him this week. Or at least if he was there, I didn't see him. Jake disappeared if he was there. Archer came out. They start brawling right away. The Butcher and the Blade come out. Now it's 3-on-1. Here come the Lucha Bros, and here comes Pac. So Eddie Kingston was a liar. Pac was back. The Death Triangle lives on. We're not going to have to wait to see them all together again. They're already back. The Babyfaces fought off the heels. Archer and Pac, they had words. Archer was going to give Eddie Kingston a chokeslam. Pac ruined it by booting Eddie in the face, so he couldn't chokeslam him. If we eventually get a match, that's a pretty cool match. I'm down for that. I'm down for Pac against Lance Archer. You know, big guy, smaller guy, but I think that could be a hell of a match. I would not expect a clean finish. I would expect Eddie Kingston and his boys to, you know, to fuck up what probably would be the finish to a really fun match, but now I'm kind of hoping we get that match at some point. Dasha interviewed Dustin Rhodes in the back, asked him about the Dark Order inviting him to become 7. I told you the significance of that. Some people didn't get it, like, why 7? So I talked about last week, the old gimmick in WCW, he was going to come in as this weird guy called 7. They did these vignettes of him looking through the window of a child in his bed. The child in the commercial was being played by Cody Rhodes, the young Cody Rhodes. And standards and practices at Turner didn't like it because it just felt like this guy is, I don't know if they thought he was a pedophile or just some guy that abducts children. The gimmick literally, I mean, like, he made his first appearance on TV and immediately, in very Russo-esque fashion, started shooting on the gimmick. This is stupid. He's ripping it off. So 7 never really became a thing. It's a sore spot for Dustin. And he said, you never should have mentioned 7. He didn't accept the offer. And instead, he threatened to beat up Evil Uno. He's going to kick his ass, he said, next week on the Holiday Bash edition of Dynamite. It doesn't sound very festive. He seemed very angry, talking about kicking a guy's ass. It's the holiday season. You're supposed to be. It's the time of giving. And all he's talking about is giving an ass kick. Who else we got here? Walter Palacios, thank you for the super chat. What are your thoughts on Angelico? I think there's real potential for a run for the TNT title. I've been impressed by Angelico ever since I saw him for the first time on Lucha Underground. One of the most amazing spots or scenes that I've ever seen on a wrestling show belongs to Angelico. And it was from, I think it was the first season, first or second season of Lucha Underground, where it was Angelico, it was Son of Havoc, played by Matt Cross, and Ivelisse. They were put together as a trio. And Ivelisse was in trouble. Son of Havoc, I guess, was probably also in trouble. But in the temple where they filmed, there was a balcony. And Angelico was down on the balcony, and then all of a sudden, he does this sprint off the balcony, and they pan back, and you just see him soaring off the balcony through the air down onto, I think it was Cortez Castro, and I forgot the other guy. But it's just one of the most amazing sights I've ever seen. Like, that will always be burned into my brain. He gained my respect on that night. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be down for that. I don't see him winning the title, but yeah, him and Darby having a match on TV for the TNT title. Sure, fine with me. Jacob Donnelly, very filler show, but I'm loving Omega and Callis as a pairing and very excited about Phoenix against Omega. And Chris Quillman agrees. I am totally cool with Omega against Phoenix, but I'd rather it be Penta. Who is your pick, Josh Matthews or Don Callis? My pick for what? Commentary? Don Callis. Why would you even ask a question? I mean, that's a gimme. I mean, you can ask me questions. Ask me a tough question. Come on, Chris. Come on, Chris. You should know better. Mr. Cisco. That's what it was. Thank you in the chat. It was Cortez Castro and Mr. Cisco. Mr. Cisco, who got murdered in a later season of the... I'm sorry for the spoiler, but yes, he was... I believe his face was eaten off which is a tough way to go. 12-man tag, the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, MJF, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. Santana was back on TV this week. I mentioned on Sound Off on Sunday, he was out last week. His stepfather passed away. Earlier this year, his father passed away. So he lost two dads in 1 year, so that's tough. But he was back this week, taking on Best Friends, Top Flight, and the Varsity Blondes, Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. They're giving these guys a push as a new team. I see a lot of potential. Jim Ross made actually a very good observation tonight. There are certain things about Griff Garrison that do remind me of a young Edge when Edge first, you know, started showing up on WWE television. I have no idea if he's going to be the next Edge. Point is, there's potential there. Pillman, you know, he shows some signs of great things as well. So 2021 could be a big year for these guys. This was originally going to be a 14-man 7-on-7 match. Wardlow, they announced earlier today, was not able to travel due to a family matter. So hopefully everything on the family front is okay. So it went from 14 men to 12 men. Wow, can you hear that? That is crazy. The hell. It feels like it's coming into the room here. Man, I hate this. I hate the winter. I fucking hate the winter. Ugh. Hate the winter, but I love the fact that I can work from home and I don't have to travel in this shit. Anyway, what was I saying? So it went from 14 men to 12 men. And the odd man out on the babyface side was Brandon Cutler. So poor Brandon Cutler ended up not getting his spot on Dynamite, which is a rare thing because Brandon Cutler is never on Dynamite because why the fuck would he be? But because Wardlow was not in the match, somebody had to go, and that person ended up being Brandon Cutler. On the bright side, though, he now has more time to spend on social media making an ass out of himself. So you got to look at the silver lining in all this stuff. Trent and Chris Jericho started off, but then Pillman wanted in. Pillman wanted to be tagged in, so he tagged in. And this was the first time that Chris Jericho has ever been in the ring with Brian Pillman Jr. They mentioned on commentary, Tony Schiavone did, that Jericho is very familiar with his father. Did Jericho and Brian Pillman ever have a match? I don't remember if... I don't know that they did. I mean, by the time Jericho was really getting the big push in WCW, I think Pillman had already left. So, and it's possible they had a match somewhere else. I don't know. I don't know that they ever had a singles match together. Somebody can look it up and let me know, though. But anyway, Jericho and Pillman had their first exchange here in this match. And again, Pillman looked good. You know, Pillman looked good. He was a house of fire. Although he had one dive out of the ring where it didn't look so good. Yeah, I saw there was a dive on NXT. Some kind of springboard move that Leon Ruff was trying in whatever match... I didn't even know what match it was, but I saw the GIF online. Leon Ruff went for this dive and slipped. And he was going to do a dive out onto everybody outside the ring. And he slipped. And he fell out on the floor and looked like he hurt himself. So hopefully he's okay. But, you know, I am amazed that more people do not break their necks. Because there's just so many of them. The risk just goes up exponentially because so many people are doing the same move. And, you know, look, those ropes get wet. Believe me, I've seen it happen. You know, I do commentary for some of the House of Glory shows. I saw that. So I'm right there at ringside. And until I think you're right there ringside, you really can't appreciate the fact that you just sort of take for granted, oh, this guy's going to go to the top rope and do a move. And then he slips and he falls and it's like, oh, this guy fucked up. But, you know, you could kill yourself. And you get sweat and spit all over the ropes. That stuff gets slippery, and it makes it that much more dangerous. So I don't know what happened with Leon Ruff, but hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's okay. Best Friends had a brief interaction in the ring with Santana and Ortiz, their first time face-to-face since the parking lot brawl that I believe Mr. Meltzer gave, it was a 5 stars, I think, right? Very polarizing rating. It was a great match. It was a great match, and still I maintain the best finish, the best closing scene to a Dynamite episode with Trent's mom flipping off the heels. That was great. So Sammy Guevara went for a shooting star press. Trent rolled out of the way, hit a bicycle knee, tagged in Darius from Top Flight, and he hit a Spanish fly on Ortiz, went for a dive. He got cut off, so his brother made a blind tag and immediately dove out onto the pile of people outside the ring. Jim Ross probably bit his lip so hard that he probably bled, but he didn't say anything. We all know what JR thinks of that spot, and JR is not wrong. I have a whole video clip on the channel here if you didn't see it, talking about that story. Jim Ross, the only thing Jim Ross has done that he needs to tone down, and I think he has, he had a tendency before to criticize some of these spots and make fun of them during the show, during the match. You shouldn't be doing that. But everything else he said, totally spot on. So Griff Garrison tagged in. He cleared the ring. He got cut off by a baseball bat strike. Chris Jericho reaches through the ropes and whacks him in the spine with the ball bat. And then Jake Hager, I don't know what the fuck happened here. Jake Hager grabs this guy. And I guess this is maybe his little shout out or tribute to Wardlow. Wardlow does the F10. It's his spinning version of the F5. And it looks pretty cool. Jake Hager tried to give Griff Garrison his version of the either the F5 or the F10, and he completely butchered it. This was absolutely miserable attempt at an F10 to Griff Garrison. This was no F10. This was no F10. This was effed up, is what this was. MJF tagged in. He got the pin for himself. After the match, the heels were beating on the baby faces at ringside. And Top Flight, they hit stereo drop kicks to Chris Jericho and MJF. And Top Flight, the 19-year-old and the 21-year-old, were the last ones standing. When this match was over, they didn't win, but they were the last two men standing when this thing was over. And a little bit later on in the show, Darius and Dante, they cut a promo in the back. I thought this promo was really good. All right, they don't have a lot of experience doing promos like this. Neither does Private Party. And when Private Party did many weeks ago, a few months ago, I guess, it wasn't, you could tell there was some nervousness there. They were okay at it. But I said at the time, like, the more they are able to go on live TV and cut promos like that, the better at it they'll get. This is the first time these guys have been live on Dynamite. And I thought that this was a pretty good promo. Challenging Chris Jericho and MJF to a match on TV next week, which has since been made official. So we're going to see that match next week. But that's another example of what I'm talking about. You know, trying to get the younger guys over in a prime spot on the show, working with someone like Jericho. Do I think Top Flight is going to win next week? They might. They might. And I only say that because it's Jericho and MJF, so there could be some kind of miscommunication. That's the only way Top Flight's going to win. They're not just going to win straight up. But even if they don't win, if they just go in there and they have a really great match and they hold their own against Jericho and MJF, that's the sort of thing you need to start doing more of to establish them to your audience and start giving them some credibility. Because you can't just beat them all the time. You know, they have to put up a fight. They have to look competitive. But this is part of what they did on the show tonight that I thought was a positive thing. Again, the show itself just felt like a filler episode. But that's what's going to happen. When you're trying to get new people over, these are not going to be the most exciting shows. You know, it's just that's how it's going to be. But at least you're trying to advance things forward and you're trying to look ahead. You're not just trying to book week to week like we see sometimes on other shows. You guys know. I don't even have to say anything. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. The True Heel Master, Kenny Omega, is really benefiting from this AEW Impact Wrestling partnership. We get to see the rebirth of the Cleaner. Well, he's benefiting from it more than Impact is, based on the ratings this week. at least somebody is getting over in this. I said, you know, Omega feels more important now than he has his entire run so far in AEW. Man, that hail is really coming down. Sounds like the window is about to crack. Brian Mahoney. Pac has the best character in wrestling, in my opinion. Whether babyface or heel, he does not need to change much, and I love that he is always about honor. They should play more into his honor. Speaking of which, there is a brand new show on Showtime called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston. If I see, there are certain actors where if I just see their name on something, then I automatically watch. And for me, Bryan Cranston is one of those actors. I'm so used to watching stuff on Netflix that the fact that they didn't just dump the whole season kind of pisses me off. You got to watch week to week. So there are only two episodes in. I've watched the two episodes so far. Great show. Great show. He plays a judge. His son accidentally kills another kid who just so happens to be the son of a major mob boss. It's called Your Honor. It's a great show. I haven't given anything big away. That's the plot. That's the premise of the show. But check it out. It's a great show. Chris Daniels and Frankie Kazarian against Max Caster and Anthony Bowens, The Acclaimed. 7 wins in a row for them on AEW Dark coming into tonight's show. Bowens and Caster, they walked to the ring with Caster. He had a pair of beats on. He was rapping. He was rapping on Christopher Daniels. He was rapping on Frankie Kazarian. And at one point in the rap, he talked about Kazarian wearing hair plugs. Kazarian then decided to take the microphone and said, "I can rap too." And I sat here and I said, "I bet you can't." But you know what? He proved me wrong. He held his own. He actually did pretty good. I wouldn't say as good as Kurt Angle many years ago when Kurt Angle tried to battle rap, or Big Show. Remember Big Show tried to battle rap John Cena? But I thought this was a respectable effort. He had some kind of line in there comparing them to men on a mission. I didn't think Kazarian was bad. I thought his rap was pretty good. But then again, I'm probably the whitest guy you could ask that question to. So, you know, my interpretation of how good his rap is going to be very different than maybe yours. I didn't think he did a bad job. So, match itself was nothing special. Daniels had Bowens rolled up. He kicked out. And when he did, he sent Daniels into the ropes. Referee didn't see. Caster outside grabbed the boombox that they had brought to the ring with them and smashed him in the head with it. So he hit Daniels in the head with the boombox. Bowens hit this twisting slam on him and got the pin. So the new guys pick up the win over the veterans. There's another example of what I'm talking about. Trying to get the new guys over. It's the best way to use a guy like Christopher Daniels at this point. You know, Christopher Daniels, we know what Christopher Daniels can do. Chris Daniels has been around for a very long time. We know he's talented, but his time has come and gone. And if you're going to use him on TV, this is the correct way to use somebody like him. So the Young Bucks were at ringside watching. And Anthony and Caster, they turned their attention to the Bucks, and Bowens was rapping on them, and he went to drop an F-bomb, and Bowens stopped him, and this was all to build to them challenging the Young Bucks to a tag team title match on next week's show, which has since been made official. I think it's a little too quick to go right into the tag title match for these guys. I mean, these guys have barely been on Dynamite. This is really their first match, their first big match on Dynamite. Yeah, you gotta build them up a little bit more. I understand that they were 7-0 on Dark coming into the show tonight, but give them a few wins on Dynamite first before you put them right into a tag team title match. So this feels a little too quick for me. NWA Women's Champion Serena Deeb teaming up with Big Swole against Ivelisse and Diamante. Ivelisse and Serena started off. Put her down with a clothesline, did Serena Deeb. Swole and Diamante tagged in. Diamante was able to hit a German suplex. Ivelisse and Diamante were beating on Swole through the commercial break. The announcers did mention that Swole, I guess, is the number one contender for the, is it the AEW women's title? But that she might want a shot at either or. Either the AWA, or, there I go again. I keep mixing the AWA with AEW. You know why? Because I just got done talking about Super Clash 3 in the This Week in History the other night. I'm confusing Vern Gagne's promotion for Tony Khan, because Vern and Tony, you know, they're so much alike. The AEW women's title. Swole wants to go for either one. So, I don't know if they're going to have another NWA women's title match on TV. Maybe they could do like a triple threat. Winner take all. Or they could do it the way that they did the match at WrestleMania 16 with Kurt Angle and Jericho and Benoit. First fall was for the Intercontinental title, I think. Second fall was for the European title. That always bugged me. I always felt like it should be the other way around. Yeah, you could come up with different ideas, I guess. You want to make things interesting. Move some titles around. You could always do that. Swole was laying in chops on Diamante. Missed the dirty dancing. Ivelisse grabbed Swole's hair. And Big Swole fought out of a sliced bread attempt. Hit a tiger driver. And she followed that up with a clover leaf. Deeb, meanwhile, Serena, she had Ivelisse, so she couldn't rescue her, and Diamante tapped out. Nyla Rose came out with Vicky Guerrero after the match. They attacked. Ivelisse and Diamante continued to beat down the baby faces, but Red Velvet ran out with a steel chair and made the save. We had a video. Now, this was supposed to be a video highlighting the Jurassic Express, just like a highlights package for them. The video, though, is interrupted because they're going to be facing members of the Dark Order next week. This gets interrupted by FTR and Tully Blanchard, who come out after to complain. They're complaining about what's going on with this tag team division. I thought this tag team division was about real teams. And here you are talking about guys in a dinosaur mask. So, building something now between FTR and Jurassic Express. Boy, has FTR lost a lot of steam or what? They had a lot of trying to find a different word other than buzz. trying to find out what that word would be. They had a lot of people talking about them, right? Before they arrived on the scene in AEW, and then they finally showed up, and everyone's like, oh, this is great, the revival, finally, they're going to get to show what they're really made of. And they really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, they put Tully Blanchard with them, they kept winning matches, they became tag team champions, then they lost them to the Bucks, and now it's just like, eh. Boy, you know, Penthouse one day, outhouse the next. It's how it works sometimes. And the Bucks had to get the belts at some point. And we have the main event. Before we get there, though, EJ with another super chat. It's winter, so I want to ask you if you've skied before. I have not skied. I feel like if I skied, I would break both of my legs, or worse. So I have not skied. I don't have the guts to do it. I have a lot of friends who are into that kind of stuff, snowboarding more than skiing. I have jet skied. I have water skied, I should say. I have water skied in a lake on the back of a boat where you have to grab the stuff and basically just steady yourself upright, and then the boat begins to go. I don't know why I did this. This was a very bad idea. Here's the problem. This is what I learned. And then we'll get to the main event. But this is what I learned. When you put your skis on, it's very important that you don't put them on too loose because you don't want them to go flying off your feet. But at the same time, you also don't want to do them too tight because you can break your ankle. So I think I may have had them on a little too loose. I get in the water. I'm trying to like balance myself so I can actually stand up. I can't do it. I'm not a big guy. The water is taking me wherever the water wants me to go. Finally, I get on the back of these skis, and the boat begins to go. I don't think I was upright for more than 5 or 6 seconds before I just went flying. The problem is, not only did I go flying, My skis went flying off my feet. And the person on the boat said that the skis landed, they had to land within, I don't know, a foot of where I was. If I was maybe 6 or 12 inches over, it would have landed right on my head. It would have killed me. So what did I do? I got back on the skis and I tried again. And there was so much water being kicked up into my face, I couldn't see, I couldn't breathe, so I let go. And I went flying again and again. My fucking skis go flying off my feet. This time they landed about 6 or 7 feet away from me. That was the one and only time I ever attempted to do that. So to answer your question, no. Skiing is not my thing. Oz and Gloria, solid show. I really enjoyed it, but definitely not good enough to bring back Rican Sun. Yeah, we haven't seen Rican Sun. Rican Sun has retired. He cashed in his chips. He has retired to, I heard Alaska. That's the last I heard where he was. He was up in the mountains of Alaska hunting elk or whatever it is. So maybe one day he will return to civilization and he will join us here on the stream. And GV2186, Omega should have a good 1+ year run with the belt. Well, it's hard to argue that. I'm not against that. I'm not against the idea. Not against the idea. Man, I hope my power doesn't go out, because we got to talk about the main event. Kenny Omega against Joey Janela in a world title eliminator match. No disqualification. This was the match that was originally supposed to take place in the first round, I believe, of the world title eliminator that was building to Full Gear. There was a COVID exposure. They pulled Janela from the show. That was the night where he wrestled Sonny Kiss, and Omega beat him in 10 seconds. And there were people on social media who were just, they were so beside themselves. How could they do this to Sonny Kiss? This is disgusting. It's called a fucking wrestling match. One person wins and one person loses. And guess what? Sonny Kiss had no fucking business that night being in the ring with Kenny Omega. So he got his ass beat in 10 seconds. You don't like it? Tough shit. It's called good booking. Anyway, Omega and Janela didn't happen that night. And so it happened tonight with the caveat that if Janela could win, this was called a world title eliminator, because if Janela won this match tonight, he would earn himself an AEW world title match. And Kenny Omega said, look, I'm going to wrestle like a wrestling match, but if you're worried that I'm going to use a microphone on you like I did with Jon Moxley or something, tell you what, we'll make it a hardcore match. You can bring all of your goodies and you can bring all of your weapons. I don't care. And that's what Joey Janela did. Joey Janela, right from the start, he hit Omega in the head with a garbage can. Don Callis went over to the announce desk. And Don Callis was trying to bully Tony Schiavone out of his seat so that he could take his seat at the commentary table. Well, Tony Schiavone, to his credit, was not taking any shit from Don Callis. And Don Callis said, get up, I want to take your seat. And Schiavone said, no, I'm not getting up. And he goes, come on, Schiavone, get up, I want to take your seat. And Tony Schiavone said, kiss my ass. That was the end. And Don Callis was like, all right, fine. And he went back to ringside. He decided to do commentary on the house mic so that everybody in the building could hear him. But good for Tony Schiavone. Good for Schiavone. Most of these other, like these new announcers, they would just chicken out. They would go running away with their, you know, tail tucked between their legs. Tony Schiavone, he doesn't take shit from anybody. Basically told this guy to fuck off. So Don Callis was doing live commentary at ringside during the match. Omega hit a Terminator dive out onto Joey Janela, who is sitting in a chair on the floor outside the ring. Callis then handed Omega a second microphone so that Kenny could do commentary on his own match. So not only did we have commentary from Don Callis, we had some limited commentary from Kenny Omega as well. And this is as he is hitting Janela with various weapons and plunder, cookie trays, moonsault press with a garbage can by Omega, only gets a near fall. One-winged angel attempt countered into a poison rana. Sonny Kiss is there. He pulls a table out from underneath the ring, and Janela lays Omega out on the table. He climbs up to the top rope, and he hits a leg drop right on top of Omega's face. Almost broke this guy's face. Put him through the table. Janela inside misses the moonsault attempt. Two V-triggers in a row by Omega. Finally, he hits the one-winged angel. And thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, Joey Nutella. So the death triangle comes out. Here comes Pac, and here comes Penta. Here comes Rey Fénix. And Pac has a mic, and he says, you know, we're out here to address injustice. That's what the Shield used to do. That was another three-man trio. Remember the Shield? They were all about injustice. This is like the new Shield. Only if Roman Reigns was, you know, 5'7". Although he's a short guy, but he's not a guy that I would want to fuck with. The thing about Pac, like, he is a small guy, and you get a lot of very divided opinion from people. Like I said, I think Pac could be AEW champion one day, and I believe that. But there are other guys who might look the way that Pac does or be small like him who I would look at and go, there's no way this guy's ever going to be world champion. Pac, though, has this, he just wrestles very aggressively. He walks around, he's got the scowl on his face, he always looks pissed off. His shit, though, like he lays his shit in. So when he's in there, you know, it looks like he's really beating the hell out of you. And so I could absolutely buy into the idea one day of Pac being AEW world champion. I wouldn't just say that for anybody. So, yes, he is a small man. But he definitely can hang with the top guys, I think. But he's talking about injustice. He says, you know, Rey Fénix competed in the number one contenders tournament a few months ago, and he never lost. So he wanted Omega to explain, what makes you think that you deserve to be the champion when this man was basically screwed out of his opportunity? And Don Callis says, you know, last I checked, you weren't an executive, and, you know, wrestlers don't tell the world champion what to do. And Pac filled him in and said, well, I talked to Tony Khan, and Tony Khan agreed with me. And so Tony Khan made the match official for the December 30th episode of Dynamite. That's 2 weeks from tonight. It will be Kenny Omega defending the AEW World title against Rey Fénix. And that sounds like it's going to be a fucking blast. I can't wait to see that match. Now, somebody in the Super Chats before said that he had hoped or wished that it was Penta. We already saw Omega and Penta. We were supposed to get Omega and Fénix. So this is absolutely the right match. Remember, we got screwed out of this match. We got a great match between Omega and Penta. We don't need to see that again. This is the match that we need to see because we didn't get to see it the first time. Now, next week's show airs at 10 p.m. Or whenever the NBA game ends. I don't think I'm going to go live. I mean, look, if this show is going to go off the air at midnight, you know, I'm probably not going to go live. Never say never. I'll make my decision next week. Follow me on Twitter. I'll let you guys know if I'm going to go live or not. At Solomonster. Just the handle's right there. It's right beneath me. Look at this. See? Look at that. Right there. Right below you. At Solomonster, okay? Just follow me on there, and I'll let you guys know if I'm doing a stream next week. But if this fucking show is going to go off the air at midnight, it doesn't make any sense for me to go live at midnight. I'm going to be probably half passed out anyway. But maybe the NBA game will end early. If it ends early, then we'll go live. But I'll keep you guys posted. But the show next week, Young Bucks against the Acclaimed for the AEW Tag Team titles. Chris Jericho and MJF against Top Flight. Dustin Rhodes against Evil Uno. Pac against The Butcher. And Jurassic Express against Colt Cabana and Dark Order members 5 and 10. Because nothing is more exciting than guys that have numbers for their names. Well, I guess X-Pac was 6, right, in WCW. What other numbered wrestlers have we had? We had the Conquistadors, right? Uno and Dos. We've had them. Not the most exciting names, though. Oz and Gloria says, to be fair, if I knocked up Brandi Rhodes, I would be buying billboards in Times Square. I think you need to get out a little bit more. I think Oz and Gloria has been under quarantine for a little too long. If Oz and Gloria sees a doorknob, he gets excited. Come on, calm down. Easy, boy. Easy. Ryan Spies. Congrats to Cody and Brandy. Poor Jade. Her first feud got scrapped, even if the story sucked. I was very interested to see how she would do in the ring. Well, I mean, she's going to wrestle. It's not like It's not like her career is over. She'll just have to find somebody a little less higher, you know, because Brandy, you know that if it's a Brandy Rhodes feud, it would have been kind of semi-main on whatever show that would have been. And now she'll have to settle for wrestling somebody a little bit lower on the card. But we'll get to see Jade Cargill at some point. It's just the whole Shaq thing. You know, I just can't get over that. That could end up just being literally the only appearance he makes. And it was just sitting across from Brandy Rhodes, having water thrown on him and being called an asshole. That was how they used Shaq on TV. I don't know. Domination Warrior, let me talk to you. Currently, who does the best DDTs? For me, Dragon Azteca Jr.'s satellite DDT and Andrade's DDT looks brutal. What say you? I still say Jake the Snake does the best DDT. I don't know. There's some pretty good-looking DDTs. I would say Andrade's is a good one. Andrade has a really good one. I've seen Jungle Boy, though, even. I mean, I've seen Jungle Boy do some really cool-looking tornado DDTs. So, give me a good DDT. Especially, it's not so much the guy giving it, right? It's the guy selling it. So, you know, if you get a guy who sells the hell out of it, it's really all you need. But I'm willing to bet that Jake, if he had to, he still gives a hell of a DDT. Now, he may not be able to get up so quickly. I don't know when he last did his DDP yoga. But, it's kind of muscle memory, right? You don't forget stuff like that. Jake was the best. Oz and Glorious, again, check out Sting's music video appearance. Music video appearance? I didn't know Sting made a music video appearance. In whose video did he appear? I must know. Was it Post Malone or was it somebody big? You got to let me know. Was it a Weird Al Yankovic video? Like, you got to give me some information here. I know Ric Flair, right? The whole Ric Flair drip. Ric Flair's been in a music video. Now Sting's been in a music video. Daron Berry, thank you for the $5. Appreciate that. Duff's Vids, who I saw is now following me on Twitter, as all of you should be. Thank you, Duff. Better 2020 TV pregnancy announcement. John Moxley, Cody and Brandy, or Becky Lynch. Keep up the good work. NXT live stream next week. You know what? I hadn't thought about that. Possibly. I might go live instead for NXT. Depends how much interest there is. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe we'll do that instead. Pregnancy announcement. I just get a kick out of the Moxley one the most just because it was such a throwaway thing. The Becky Lynch thing was cool. The Becky Lynch thing was cool because you could tell the emotion was genuine. I don't know if they told Asuka in advance or if they just kind of let it be a surprise to her. I mean, it's WWE, so I'm sure everybody knows everything and everything is scripted to shit, but I don't know. That was a pretty cool announcement. I might go with the Becky Lynch one. Duran again. Missed the shows, but I'm back. Man, Duran's dropping some super chat love tonight here on the stream. I like it. I hope you guys are going to be joining me, by the way, on New Year's Eve. Because we're going to go live on New Year's Eve, like an hour or two before midnight. We're going to go right on into midnight, right into the new year. I'm going to literally be streaming from one year to the next. We're going to do a sound-off inbox. I'm going to be answering questions and super chats. So you guys better join me. There's no way you're doing anything better that night than joining me on this stream. So I expect to see you all there. The True Heel Master, it won't surprise me, I guess is what he means, if Cody and Brandy Rhodes do a gender reveal or a baby shower on Dynamite. And then, like, a snake jumps out of the box. Jake is there. You know what? Maybe they do something like that and Team Taz attacks or something. Maybe Taz jumps out of the box. If they could fit him in there. Yeah, I could see that. Jackalope Music. Sting with a bat clearing a ring makes me think of this story about four bouncers versus one goth. If you'd like a laugh, it's worth looking up on YouTube. All right, well, I might have to do that. I might have to do that. By the way, I wasn't paying attention to the chat. Who is this music video that Sting is in? Please tell me. Let me see if I missed it. Maybe somebody mentioned this in the chat here. Who? Wale? Oh, no. Sting should be in Wale's video. I could ask Wale if he'll have Sting in one of his videos. I mean, we talk sometimes, and he's following me. I could ask him if you want me to. So, yeah, let me know who is the video? Islander? Yeah, somebody's got to let me know so I could check this video out. I would watch the video here live on the stream, and you can get my reaction to it. But unfortunately, they're like, they're very strict on YouTube. Can't be doing stuff like that, unfortunately. Jackalope. Well, I just read Jackalope. The True Heel Master, Sting is coming for you outside in the snow. Yeah, I'm going to have to go outside and shovel this shit in the morning. I'm not looking forward to that. Spanish Goddess. God, the Acclaimed are god-awful. But I think AEW should go after Taya Valkyrie and Jordynne Grace next year. Who do you think is better, Queen or Wham? Jordynne Grace is pretty good. I mean, look, with this Impact partnership, we're probably going to see them anyway, right? So there'll probably be some kind of interaction. I mean, depending on how long it goes on for. One or both of them may end up wrestling some of the women anyway in AEW. David Mills, happy holidays. Thank you for another year of entertainment. Well, thank you. Brian Pissera just got out from work and checked out Dynamite. Or will check out Dynamite later. Want to give my sister a shout out for passing the test, getting her teacher certification. Well, congratulations. Congratulations to your sister for her certification. Bryant is one of our diehards. Bryant is the one who won the NWA replica belt in one of the Wrestle Rumble contests last month. I think it was the one last month, actually. All the more reason for you guys to get in on the one this Sunday. It's only $1. You know how much these belts would cost you if you were to buy them? You could get it for $1. Magician Sapphire with the 10 spot. I'm really loving TH2. Frost757, are you afraid of heights? Yes, I am. I'm very much afraid of heights. And yet, I was always down to do the roller coasters and all. I've done a lot of stuff despite the fact that I'm afraid of heights. So I am not one of these people who is so terrified of heights that I simply will not try anything. I've done tons of roller coasters. I've done trapeze. I don't know if I've told that story before. I've done trapeze. You know, you're climbing the ladder, and they tell you, well, just get to the top, but don't look down. So, of course, midway through climbing, what do? Like a dumbass, I look down. Now my palms are all sweaty. I feel like I'm going to pass out. But I did it. I did it. I did the very basic drop, where you get to the top of the platform, and you got to reach, you have to lean over the edge, grab the bar. The bar is very thick, by the way. You can't really get a good grip on it. They powder your hands, but that doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot. And you basically have to hop off like a bunny. And when you hop off, you swing this way. And when your body is horizontal and you're basically looking up at the sky, there's a guy down below who says, release. And so you let go and you just fall. And you fall and you float all the way down onto the net. I have to tell you, the hardest part about that wasn't so much getting up there in the fall. It was trying to stand up on the net because you can't. I looked drunk. I couldn't stand up straight. So I did it, and then I went back up, and I was going to do it again, and they saw that it was me again. And they said to me, they go, oh, okay, you're here for the bullet drop. And I was like, well, what's the bullet drop? He goes, well, this time it's going to be a little bit different where you're going to grab the bar, and when you swing, and you're swinging in midair, instead of just letting go, while you're in midair, you're going to maneuver your legs onto the bar, and you're going to hang upside down from the bar. And I remember saying to the guy, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to simply do the regular drop. I am not doing the bullet drop. because you're out of your fucking mind. That's what I was thinking. You're out of your fucking mind if you think I'm going to do that. So, and maybe I'm confusing. Maybe the regular one was the bullet drop, but whatever that second one was, it's the one you would see at like Ringling Brothers. I'm not fucking doing that. What are you, out of your mind? It was an accomplishment for me even just to get up there in the first place. So yeah, I've tried some things like that, but I am very much afraid of heights. Very, very much so. Like, if I were a WWE guy or an AEW guy, you put me in a ladder match, I quit. Like, there's no way. I'm not doing it. I have a ladder in the house. If I have to change a light bulb just to get up on the ladder, I'm like sweating bullets. You think I'm going to climb up in a ring and guys are knocking the ladder over and stuff? Go fuck yourself. I'm not doing that. You're crazy. Michael Cuomo, so are the Lucha Bros and Pac babyfaces? I guess they would be. I mean, I guess they're certainly positioned more as babyfaces than they are heels. They're working against the heels. So I would say that they're tweeners. Maybe not babyfaces, but I would consider them to be tweeners on the roster. True Heel Master, watching Dynamite tonight was like enjoying a taste of teriyaki chicken and boneless spare ribs with lo mein. Tastes good, just like the show. Well, now you got me hungry. Thanks a lot. Dop Dop with the $5. Hey, Jason, boring show tonight. I hope you're talking about Dynamite, not my show. Boring show tonight. Big fan. You make my Sundays. I feel like AEW highlights the NWA Women's Champion more than Sheeta. Do you see that as well? I've made that same comment on the show before. Sheeta will be on Dynamite next week. They didn't announce her opponent. They just said that she'll be in action. But yes, they have positioned the NWA Women's title to be, I mean, not just at the same level, but almost even more sought after. And the matches have been better in some cases than a lot of the AEW women's matches. So, which is great for the fans, but you got to be careful, right? You don't want to position that title as being more prestigious than your own. Oz is back. Sting appeared in a video for Crazy Crazy World by a band called Islander this week. Loved the video. Well, what is he doing in the video? Is he surrounded by women? Is he in the rafters? I mean, what is he doing? I'm trying to think, what would Sting be doing in a music video? I don't know. I mean, I've seen Sting in a Sprite commercial before many years ago where he beat the shit out of a kid. That was cool. Wouldn't mind seeing that again. But what does Sting do in a music video? I need to know. EJ, remember Rich Swann was once in a group with Gargano and Chuck E. T. Such a random team. I wouldn't mind him in Best Friends versus Kenny Omega and the OC. And the True Heel Master, and I think we're all caught up now. I'll say it again. Sting is cool, fresh, and hip. He may be old, but Sting is still down doing a collaboration with young music groups. Sting and Snoop Dogg collaboration is coming next. Well, since he apparently is on the show every single week, he and Snoop will be on the show together in a few weeks, and we'll see if they do anything together. Maybe Snoop can, he did such a good job with commentary on that boxing pay-per-view, maybe he can interview Sting. Maybe he and Sting can smoke, right? I mean, when Sting comes out, you got the snow coming down. Maybe this time it'll be like a cloud of smoke. Sting will come out with a big smile on his face. Yeah, I kind of want to see that, actually. I want to see this collaboration now between Sting and Snoop Dogg. Now you guys got me interested. Let's see what you guys thought of the show tonight. AEW poll on Twitter. You can vote, by the way, at Solomonster. Dynamite so far, 77% thumbs up, 23% thumbs down. And the NXT poll, 68% thumbs up, 31% thumbs down. I will be watching NXT tomorrow. There's one of the new super chats. You go, girlfriend. Look at that. Look at that. Look at Roman Reigns. Look at those nails. Look at those nails. Look at those earrings. Look at Roman. There's your Universal Champion. Look at this guy. He's something else, isn't he? One of those new random super giants that just popped up right at the perfect time. One of those random super giants. You never know what you're going to see on your screen when you super chat. You never know what you're going to see. That's one of the fun things here about the streams every single week. Oz and Glorious, the video is awesome. Please watch it and give feedback. I will check it out. I will definitely check out the music video with Islander. Right, Islander? I will check it out. Salty Phantom says, the Tribal Queen. Yes, in that super chat, he is the Tribal Queen. In that, he's whatever he wants to be. He's the king, he's the queen, he's the prince, he's everything. He's everything. You'll have to let me know if I should make that a dedicated dollar. I mean, I think people are going to like that one. So right now it's just on random. But if it was a specific dollar amount, I have to decide which amount makes sense for the Tribal Queen. Anyway, I think that we're all caught up now on the super chat. So, I'm trying. Please, he says, dude, Roman is the best thing in WWE right now. Please don't curse him. I'm trying not to. At the end of the day, Roman Reigns is going to be protected. Let's be honest. Roman's going to be just fine. I don't think Roman has much to worry about as far as his push is concerned. We'll take some phone calls here. I'm going to get things set up. You guys are going to listen to some music. And I'm going to be back here in a second with you as I go ahead and I prepare this for some phone calls. Because I feel like we haven't taken phone calls in about a week or two. So let me get that set up. If you want to call in, let me put the number up now on the screen. There it is. Lines are not open yet. They will be, though, in a second. Man, it is freezing in here. My nuts have shrunk. Boy, this cold, because I got no plastic on here. If I put plastic over the window over there, you're gonna hear shh every week. It's gonna be blowing in and blowing out, blowing in and blowing out. So no plastic, and so all the cold air just rushes in. I got an air conditioner unit in the window, and all these little cracks and little openings. I'm freezing my ass off right now. This is the things I do for you. Because right now I'd be under the covers, trying to get warm. True Heel Master again with the $5, just in case you're not on next Wednesday. Happy holiday, man. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to try to be on next week, whether it's for NXT or, yeah, maybe. I even thought maybe, I don't know, like a watch along. I don't know how many people would have an interest in that, though. Like, just, you know, I'm watching Dynamite off screen with, like, no volume while people watch me. I don't know. Is there an interest in that? I'll figure something out. We'll do something next week. But yes, thank you for that super chat. And happy holidays, yes, to everybody. We got more streams before the holidays arrive. In fact, I'm going to be live for the TLC pay-per-view stream on Sunday. I will probably, hopefully, be live tomorrow night, probably around 8 p.m. for TLC predictions. So we got a lot more streams coming up between now and Christmas, and then between Christmas and New Year's. So we got a lot of content coming. But happy holidays. Whatever holiday you may be celebrating, I hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope you guys get all the gifts and all the presents and everything that you're looking for. So the phone lines are open. If you want to call in, we'll take some calls here as we wind down and the snow and the hail smash into my window. It is nasty here in New York City. Hopefully it's a lot nicer where you guys are. But if you are anywhere near where I am, it's not so nice. I think where I am, we're supposed to get, I don't know, 6 to 12 inches, I think. And if you're further up north, I think you're going to get a foot or more. So they're going to get it worse than we are here in Brooklyn. But Jorge Lugo in the chat, you never gave your thoughts on the new Mets owner, Steve Cohen. Man, this guy he's a man of the people. Did you see? He's all set up on Twitter. He's interacting with people every day. He's cracking jokes. He was greeting fans the other day, I think outside the stadium, you know, wearing his mask, of course. But so far, so good. You know, the thing about him is, you know, yes, he's a billionaire, but he actually seems like a legit fan. He's like a big Mets super fan. And we have been so tortured by the previous ownership and all the bullshit over the years that I'm trying to look at this as just, it's like a new leaf. We've turned over a new leaf. You've got to believe, you've got to hope that there's positive, good things that are going to happen for the Mets. But I have been let down so many times before. It's like, if this team is cursed, it almost doesn't matter who the owner is. I'm optimistic, though. I'm hoping that we'll end up with a lot to cheer about. But he's a legitimate fan. It always helps to have somebody who's a legit fan. Like you, right? You guys are all legit fans. We have some legit fans on the line. I have a legit fan right here. Got Jared. Jared's a legit fan. Jared's the legit boss.
Jason, the last 18 minutes of my birthday, all I wanted to do was talk to you.
Well, I didn't realize that today was your birthday.
I didn't expect you to. That's why I'm telling you.
Well, happy birthday. I got 20 minutes left to wish you happy birthday, but happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I love the stream tonight. The best present I could get.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. What did you think of Dynamite, though? Did you think that they gave you a good present or not so much?
It can't be like Raw from 99 where you got to overtop the week after. Things kind of developed. I agree with you before. We've seen Sting three times in 3 weeks. It should be two times in 3 weeks. There was no reason to show up tonight. There's no reason. There was no development. I don't want to see him every week. That's not why I got excited a couple weeks ago.
I want to see him
make an impact.
Yeah, keep him special. I mean, he could be a good attraction for them to have. We still don't know why he's there, right? He hasn't really told us yet, but you just, don't put him on every week. Just save him. And that way, when he's actually on the show, he's doing something. And people know, oh, shit, Sting's going to be on the show. Something's going down. But he hasn't done anything. Definitely. So it's kind of the law of diminishing returns.
Well, I'm putting my faith in Tony Khan that he knows what he's doing and he hasn't mapped out correctly. So I'm putting my faith in him that he's going to do the right thing here and we're going to see Sting used correctly this time around in 2021.
Cool.
But besides that, I thought it was a good show. It wasn't as good as the last 2 weeks, but it was a good show. Some things got moved across. I would definitely love to see a face Pac versus a heel Omega. And I do think Pac does have a making of a world champion.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see, I don't know when, now, you know, not now, now is not the time, but at some point, could I see AEW champion Pac? Yes. Yes.
Yes. I definitely agree with that. And, there really wasn't that much help. I really like what they're doing with Hybrid 2 and Hell Zero. I think I've been a fan with him since you mentioned that spot about 4 or 5 years ago where he did that trios drop in the down in Los Angeles on that town stage at Lucha Underground. I've been a fan of him ever since. I think he dove in the ring and saved Eva Lys.
Yeah.
And that trios match, remember I'm talking about, Jason?
I was just talking about that before. Yeah.
Ever since you mentioned that 4 or 5 years ago, because I didn't get Lucha Underground out on the island. So, ever since I've seen that, this guy's got talent, man. This guy is a player. So, I'm glad to see that getting some TV time. And that's really it. And as a Mets fan, Jason, I look at this as a whole new tree. Not a new leaf, but a whole new tree or a whole new yard. I am very excited, and I like this guy. He's accessible. He's a fan. He's willing to spend the money, and I don't want to hear any more BS excuses like I did with the Wilpons for 15 years. So I'm happy with that. And Jason, it is coming down out here, man. Out in Suffolk, coming down.
Yeah, just hopefully your power stays on. It was like flickering. Lights were flickering before. Right now it's okay, but I got my trusty flashlight here, so, I need it. I got it. I can do the show in the dark. Although, I guess if there's no power, I can't do the show. So what the fuck am I talking about? Anyway.
Yeah. And I appreciate you answering my questions past week. Riddle and The Fiend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I don't know what the hell. I know I really don't call it on the WWE. I do watch the WWF thing and stuff. But I just can't believe they're turning him in. They're trying to get him to get a pop out of him. I guess humanizing him, they're ruining it. So, whatever. But I'm glad I got a hold of you, Jason. Have a good night. Great show. Thank you for everything.
Thank you, and have a great rest of the birthday. You got 15 minutes left. Make the most of it.
Thanks, Jason. Have a good day.
All right, you too. I was going to tell him to go watch an old NWA, because he's like an old school fan, Jared. Right? Go watch an old, a great NWA match on the network. What's a great NWA? I mean, there's so many of them. Watch the I Quit match with Magnum T.A. and Tully Blanchard from 1985. You can watch Ric Flair against almost anybody, really, from the 80s, right? Dusty, Steamboat, Barry Windham, Vader, and Starrcade 93. So much good content out there. I just never have time to go back and watch it. I got to make time. That's what I got to do. I got to make time to go back and watch this shit. Back when we had real men. Real men in the wrestling business, right? Anyway, who am I talking to?
It's Oz and Glorious.
It's Oz and Glorious, who I think I saw more than probably anybody else up and down the Super Chat list tonight. What's going on?
Yeah, you got to spread them out. How's it going?
It's going good. That's only aside from the weather, it's
Happy
going
birthday.
Good.
Yeah, sorry to hear it. We're having a snowstorm here in Utah as well.
Well, but I would imagine in Utah, you're probably used to this kind of weather.
Yeah, greatest snow on earth, they say.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was Colorado.
No, we have it on the license plates. Greatest snow on earth. It says it right there.
Well, if it's on the license plate, then it must be true.
It's official.
There you go.
Great show tonight. Great show tonight.
Now, were you talking about me or AEW?
I said it twice because it's you and AEW. I had a really good time watching Dynamite.
I see. Okay. Yeah, because I had to just make sure.
Yeah. I did want to mention, I'm actually enjoying Sting making weekly appearances. I mean, he wasn't even on screen this week for 30 seconds, right?
Best job in the world.
You're cutting out.
I'm cutting out?
Yep.
I sound fine. Maybe you're cutting out.
Maybe. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the Sting appearances
on my own show.
Weekly. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, look. Oh shit! I think I moved something by accident. it's okay. I thought I accidentally moved the entire screen over, but everything's cool. Now look, I mean, it's cool to see Sting on TV. I just don't want him to burn out too quickly. And I think that
sure.
you skip a week or two and there's nothing. I'm not saying keep him off for 6 weeks at a time, like you know, he's Brock Lesnar or somebody. But, you know, just skip a week or two here and there and make sure when he shows up that there's a purpose to it. And so if he's not going to do anything physical, that's fine. But what is his role on this show? Or who is he going to interact with? You know, the stuff where he's just going to kind of come out and point and leave. Yeah, you can do that a few times, but just don't go overboard with it. And I feel like he doesn't have to be on the show every single week. It just keeps people wanting to tune in to see him when he actually is on the show. He's like an ace in the hole for them, you know? You don't really have too many of these older legends that I think still have some value. Jericho and guys like that, they've been there for so long already. Who else Could they bring in who would really have value that people would look at as, well, I guess Brock, but we don't need to see that.
Well, we're going to see Adam Cole, right?
No, I don't think we are. I don't think we are.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I just wanted to mention I'm enjoying the Sting appearances right now, at least the way that they're doing it. It's fan service for the old WCW people to just see him come out and do the bat thing. But at the same time, there's still that unpredictable nature, for what he's doing. So I'm digging it. And I just wanted to say, you know, great show.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that I got you on.
Yeah. Cheers.
All right. Have a good holiday and have a good, well, you'll join me, I'm sure, right? We'll be doing more streams in the next
week.
Oh,
I'll see you.
All right, cool. All right,
I'll be here. You know it.
Oh, you better be.
Take care, Saul Monster.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Yeah, that was weird. He said I cut out, but everybody said it. Everything looks good to me. So Maybe the snow is coming down harder in Utah than it is here in New York. It's possible. One and only with the $5 super chat. I didn't forget about you. Hard for me to take Rich Swann serious after seeing him last in WWE. But I think they can pull off a great match together. What say you? Five star worthy. Well, I don't do the whole five star thing, seven stars, six stars. Nor do I think it would be five star worthy, but I think they could go in there and probably have just an excellent match. Maybe, I don't know, maybe four and a quarter, four and a half, something like that. I don't usually do the star ratings. I leave the star ratings to other people. I don't want to infringe upon their gimmick, right? Everybody has to have their own gimmick. Let's go to 702.
Hey, what's up, Solomon Monster? How are you holding up today?
Holding up okay so far. I'm inside. I'd rather be in here than out there.
Yeah, I heard kind of the what is it, snow out there? I mean, I'm from Vegas, so I don't really see snow.
I'm talking to you. Well, I mean, I think it's a mix of hail and snow. Now it's quiet, a little bit quieter than it was before. So it's a mix. It's a mix of hail and snow and probably a little bit of rain all mixed together. It's going to make for a nice mess, I'm sure, in the morning.
Man, the irony of people that don't like have to deal with snow is like we all think about having snow in the winter.
Well, I was going to say, I have been giving a lot of thought. I'm not doing anything imminently, but I think for the first time in my life, I found myself in recent months, and in the winter, it gets even worse. Like, I just don't want to be here. Thinking about getting the hell out of New York. And then the only question is, where do I go? And I've had different people recommend places to me. People have said, oh, you got to come to Texas, man. You got to go, like, Austin, Texas is, like, the place to go. And then I had another person say, oh, you got to go out to Vegas or, like, Reno or somewhere out in the desert, like, out there. Because the cost of living is just so much cheaper. The weather is nicer. I'm thinking about it. And then I see Eric Bischoff posting stuff on Twitter because he's out there in like Cody, Wyoming. And I'm sure I would never survive. I mean, Wyoming probably has some of the worst winters of any state in the country, but it's beautiful. Like, you get this just like mountains in the background and streams. And I think I have finally reached a point in my life. I've lived in Brooklyn my whole life. Right, I've been a city slicker my whole life. I'm just ready to get the fuck away from people. I want to be left alone. I want quiet. I want nature. I think I'm getting there. I think I'm almost there.
Look, I'm not gonna lie. So it seems like you have dealt with that with like cold seasons.
Yeah.
Vegas is probably not the place for you because, you know, summer, or I mean the hot weather lasts all the way to like
I've been there
late into November.
I've been to Vegas in July, I've been to Vegas in July where it's a dry heat. I'm like, yeah, well, that doesn't really make me feel any better, but thank you. When it's 115 degrees outside.
I mean, you might get like job opportunities for what you do, and like even considering like your wrestling acumen, because you've been doing this for a while, the podcast, and you're a known name, to be honest. Even that, you can actually break into probably like the Vegas or Nevada like wrestling scene, or even California, because it's pretty close. But honestly, if you're not accustomed to the weather, I wouldn't recommend, to be honest.
It's just a thought right now. We're not neighbors yet, but I've been giving it between the weather and the taxes and everything else. It's like, I got to get the hell out of here. But I don't think I'm going anywhere anytime soon.
I mean, it's always up to consideration. And right now, I don't think it's a good idea to like make plans like that, at least till everything kind of normalizes in a way. Or there's some sense of normalcy. And I apologize if I'm stuttering over more words. I'm a little tipsy.
No, you're a little tipsy. Well, that's a sign of a good night. Now, are you getting tipsy every night? Do you have a drinking problem? Or is this for a special occasion? Are you tipsy because it's your birthday, because it's the holidays and you're just happy? So what is the occasion?
I It's my day off.
It's your day off. Well, you know what? You can stop right there. That's reason enough to drink. I don't blame you at all. If I had the day off, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, man. I've been like watching your podcast ever since like probably like ever since I learned English back in like 2011 or some 12 or something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, big fan of you. Like I've called a few times already too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What you thought about the show?
Well, I just talked about it for about an hour and a half. So, I mean, you can always go back and you can listen to all the thoughts I had on the show tonight. I thought it felt like a filler show, but I thought we got a show that was meant to highlight a lot of the newer, younger talents working with the older guard. We saw that up and down the card tonight. I thought that part of it was positive. The show itself didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, it wasn't really doing it for me. I liked some spots. But, yeah, I mean, it was all right. It's still a fun watch because it's a relatively short show. And it's not only is it 2 hours only for a production show that's actually relatively short.
Yeah.
But it's still a fun watch regardless. You know, like, for some reason, it just feels like it goes through. So I was wondering before I get cut off from the line. I've heard you a few times talking about like how great it is to hear the likes of Tony Schiavone or Jim Ross on commentary. I personally, growing up, I was born in Peru, so like growing up with like the Spanish commentators, for example. I never really got the chance to hear much about the English commentators from either WCW or ECW or WWF. So it never really clicked to me. And even when I moved back to the US, and it never really clicked to me, like, why were they so special? Like, the first English announcer I actually heard was, as a matter of fact, Excalibur over the PWG show. So I actually grew up with him as a English commentator.
Poor bastard.
And honestly, while I've enjoyed Tony Schiavone and I get why he's so acclaimed on commentating, I personally don't still get Jim Ross. And
well, here's the thing.
I sound like,
no, I get it. I'm assuming that your exposure to him is just primarily from what you've heard of him on Dynamite. Is that correct?
Well, I heard a few shows on him on WWF and like WWE when it was already there, but I still don't get it. I don't get the appeal. Like, I get Tony Schiavone now. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I think. I mean, look, some people, it could just be a matter of style. It could just be, what you heard first when you were either growing up a wrestling fan or you first became a wrestling fan. That's the style that you kind of gravitate to. The only advice I can give you is I don't know what Jim Ross you've seen or how much of the early Tony Schiavone stuff you've seen. I would recommend, like, with Schiavone, for example. I mean, I know he's most associated with the NWA and WCW, but even his WWF stuff, you know, back in like 89, he was really good. You know, the stuff with him and Jesse Ventura on commentary, Jim Ross, I mean, he's been great for ages. So, I mean, take your pick. You can go back and listen to Jim Ross calling matches with Tony and with Jesse Ventura and with all these other people in WCW before he even went to go work for Vince McMahon. And then the best Jim Ross stuff came from, I would say, 97 onward. Like, that period from 97 to like 2001 was like the glory period of Jim Ross in WWE, because he was so into everything, and when something horrible would happen, he would react as if somebody had, you know, kidnapped his mother. Like, everything was so personal to him, you know, like it, the best way I can describe it, those guys were announcers from a different era when the wrestling felt more real. And it didn't just feel like, okay, these guys are out there reciting lines and plugging things and all the stuff that the announcers have to do now. It's their job. And I understand that. That's what Michael Cole is told to do. That's what Tom Phillips is told to do. You cannot compare the announcing today to the announcing of 20 or 30 years ago. They are two totally different things. And if you didn't grow up with that, you may not like it. But you got to watch enough of it to really gain an appreciation for it. The announcing today cannot hold a candle to the announcing of 20 or 30 years ago. It just can't. Yeah. Because it's just it's just not the same. So it's such an absurd comparison that I feel bad. I wish I could just like sit you down in front of a TV and tape your eyelids open so you can't close your eyes and make sure your ears are all clean and you could just watch and listen, because it used to be so great. And it's such a shame now that it's just a different type of wrestling. I don't want to just shit all over the current commentary and the current wrestling now, but if we're going to start comparing then and now, there ain't no comparison. Trust me.
Well, the thing is, wrestling is just going to keep evolving. And like in 10, 20 years from now, people are going to, maybe not necessarily to an extent, but they're going to start drawing comparisons to the likes of what is Caliber or even Michael Cole to an extent. Like they're going to be like, oh, their commentary was so much greater than nowadays. It's just how wrestling goes in this sense, like the in-ring style, but overall, like the whole presentation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Bacon in the chat says, let's wait until Snoop gets to Dynamite in a few weeks and Snoop is going to blow everybody out of the water. Snoop is going to end up being better than Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon and Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross and Michael Cole and Kevin Kelly and everybody else. So anyway,
I don't know about that.
I think I'm getting a contact high, but you're not smoking, you're drinking. So anyway, get back to your drinking. I don't want to disrupt your drinking. You got the day off.
Well, sir, have a good night.
Right.
Have a good night and have holidays.
Well, you're West Coast, right? You're West Coast right now?
Yeah.
Okay,
Nevada.
It's midnight here, so it's 9 p.m. That means you got three more hours of drinking before it's midnight. So I don't want to disrupt you.
I'm going to get shit-faced. I'm still going to watch you over, but I'm going to get shit-faced.
Okay, that's the best way to watch my podcasts. Go for it.
It's always the best way.
Well, I'm that could be an insult, too. I'll take that as a compliment, though. But anyway.
No disrespect. I love your show.
Okay.
Your show.
All
right. Like, all right. Kid.
All right. People are going to kill me if I don't move on.
Have a good night, sir.
But thank you for the call.
Have a good night, sir.
All right. You too.
Likewise.
All right. That was a long call, but man, he got the day off. And so he deserves to go ahead and get shit-faced if that's what he wants to do. He earned the right to do that. I think we're going all the way to Saudi Arabia. Are you on the line?
Hey, Salvato, what's up?
What's going on? Let everybody know who I'm talking to.
It's your Saudi source for us from Jeddah, yeah.
It's our good Saudi friend from Jeddah calling in again. We've had him on the stream before. Now, I know I was just talking to somebody in Las Vegas, and they're 3 hours behind me, so they're 9 o'clock at night. What time is it where you are right now?
Oh, early morning.
Probably 6
eight,
o'clock or so, exactly. Right?
Eight.
Oh, 8. Okay, so it's 8 a.m. 8 a.m. in Saudi Arabia. Well, how you been?
It's different from the time you did the prediction. You remember like 2 months ago?
Yeah. I did that in the middle of the day here. So, yeah, that was very different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's up, man? It's been a while since I called, yeah.
It's been a few months. So hopefully everything is okay on your end.
Yeah. It's get a little bit better, yeah.
Good.
On the whole COVID thing.
Sure.
So just have a bit information about the Saudi WWE thing and question.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the question first, okay?
Sure.
So I know, like, I really miss attending shows, especially like the Saudi shows. But I just want to know what's your, like, I know you attended a lot of shows. So what's your, like, favorite WWE show that you attended and worst one? Yeah.
Wow. My favorite WWE.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, that's a loaded question, because I could probably give you a few different answers on that. Man, I'm going to, okay, I'll do this. I'll spit a few answers out at you. One of them is definitely the NXT TakeOver show in Brooklyn, the first one they did in Brooklyn that had the Sasha Banks Bayley match, their first match.
Oh, yeah.
That
was that 2015, right?
That was 2015. So that was 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's go back a little bit earlier. Probably, you know what? I'll say this. The most fun I ever had at an event was the very first Raw I ever went to. And the very first Raw I ever went to was a show that I won tickets for in a contest from a radio station. And that was in July 13th, actually, 1998. Right in the middle of the Attitude Era. It was a night that Shawn Michaels came back. He made an appearance. It was his first time on TV since WrestleMania when he lost to Stone Cold. But that, and I've told the story, that was night that I met a whole bunch of wrestlers up in the luxury box. I got luxury box tickets, so I got there early. So we got the front row of the luxury box. It's in New Jersey. We're looking out. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Free food. And I went into the bathroom, because we had our own bathroom in the box. And I thought, oh, this is so cool. I go in the box and I look, and what do I see? The toilet is all plugged up. Whoever used this toilet before us must have dropped a bomb in there, because it is just, it's almost filled to the brim, like it was overflowing. I closed the door. I said, well, we're not going in there. But aside from that, I got to meet Mankind in the box. He came in. I met Mark Henry and Luna Vachon, who was very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And I met Owen Hart. And Owen Hart was...
Oh, yeah, you told the story before. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I put the picture online, too. I met Owen Hart. This was less than a year before he died. So that was really... That was a really fun night. Probably, you know, one of the more fun nights I've had. But, you know, I always have fun at the WrestleManias. I don't go to WrestleMania now. I probably won't for a while. We weren't planning on going this year anyway, even before the pandemic. But every time I go to WrestleMania, it's always a blast. WrestleMania tends to suck, but yet I have more fun hanging out with my friends and meeting all of you guys, because I usually get to do like a meetup. I did a live sound off in Dallas a few years ago, which was amazing. We had tremendous turnout for that. I missed that. The worst show I've ever been to, it might be one of those WrestleManias, honestly. There were some god-awful ones. WrestleMania 32 sucked. WrestleMania 33 wasn't great. The Hardy Boys returned that night. That was fun. I've been to some pretty awful shows. Yeah, it's probably, probably one of those.
Like you said, like, for example, for me, like, some of the Saudi shows, I can admit, like, they are bad, but I have a lot of fun in them, you know, because I attend with friends and...
Yeah, well, because also, they don't come to that part of the world very often. Right. So when they do come, you don't get those shows the way that we get them. Right. Like in New York, we'll get a few shows a year. Even in New York, though, we don't get as many as we used to in a year, but we get more than you do. So when you guys get it, it probably feels special. Like, wow, they're actually coming over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. People in the chat are reminding, how could I forget? Yeah. One of the worst shows, that is true. WrestleMania 29. That was a bad one. I'll give you one more. I went to the one...
Was that the first Triple H Undertaker match?
That was Undertaker CM Punk.
Uh-oh.
Which was the best match on the show. But I'll give you one more. I went to the one and only Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view, which was back in... It was 10 years ago. Yeah, it was 10 years ago this year. It was out on Long Island.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they only did one. Put it that way. So, there you go.
Is that Sheamus and Edge, that match that happened with the...
Oh, my God. I don't even remember. I remember Rey Mysterio, I think, lost his world title in like a four-way or something to Jack Swagger, maybe. I don't know. So, something like that.
Okay, let's get the other information. So, last week... the WWE office, Arabic office, and Mansoor visited Riyadh, you know? So, yeah, what got me thinking is why Vince would let him go if there's something not happening, you know? In the pandemic, you know, I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, they're contracted to have more shows there, so... You're going to get probably...
Yeah, I mean, like in the pandemic, he got there, but the question is, I got the feeling that a show is happening soon, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
visit,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be like in February or if it'll be maybe after WrestleMania, but I would think first half of 2021, yeah, I could see them going back to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, like, why would Vince let him go in the pandemic if there's something happening, you know? I have a feeling that February, maybe, or June.
Well, if it's going to be February, then they're going to have to make an announcement very soon. So I don't know that it's going to be it's going to be that soon. But if it is, then we'll be hearing about it probably in the next few weeks.
If you want my own prediction, I think October, I think a long while before we get it, October 2021, you know, or November.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. There's going to be, I don't know if there'll be two. Usually they do two.
Yeah, I think one this year, yeah.
Yeah, they do two per year. We'll probably see them doing one next year, and then 2022, maybe they'll get back to the normal schedule.
Two shows, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Anything else?
Okay. Last thing. I know I'm so late on this, but Jason, I want to congrats you on the 13 years, man.
Thank you.
Holy shit! Thank you for the. I really mean it because I have been a long fan of the show. Like, thank you for the laughs and the funny moments.
Thank you.
And just thank you so much. I love you, man.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Keep up the amazing work.
That's very nice of you.
Thank you so much, man.
I love you too, man. Here, give me a virtual hug. No, that's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much, man.
It's
always good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to you. And we'll talk again soon. You'll call back in.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, Dave.
Awesome.
See you.
All right. Have a good morning, because it is 8 o'clock in the morning where he is in Saudi Arabia. I was going to say have a good night, and then I caught myself. We got a couple more super. Actually, we got a few more super chats in. I love seeing the super chats, man. I love it. Until I get those memberships up, right? It's the easiest, quickest way to support the channel here. Oz and Gloria says, "I'm bone dry sober with a bad internet connection. Thanks for taking my call." Well, that's no fun. Let's see. Powerful one. Happy holidays, Solemn Monster. Assuming the New Japan AEW partnership happens and we get guys like Tanahashi, Okada, Naito, and Switchblade on AEW, what are some of the bigger matches that you would like to see? Doing another Okada Omega, but doing it on American either television or an AEW pay-per-view, that's a natural. You gotta do that, right? You gotta read. It's been a few years, so I think it's perfectly fine if they wanted to revisit that. Omega, Ibushi. You know what? I think actually Switchblade and Moxley could be a fun one. They could do that in New Japan, though, I guess, because Moxley's been doing some matches over there. I don't know. I'd have to think about other ones. But you can mix them up and have some fun, I think, with some of the different match pairings. But, yeah, bringing back Omega and Ibushi and Omega and Okada just makes sense. And the True Heel Master. WWE creative handling Monday Night Raw is like watching the New York Jets season. All time low. I got nothing to dispute that. The Jets are god-awful. absolutely god-awful. There is no defending the New York Jets, so I'm not even going to attempt to do so. Let's, oh boy, it's getting late. All right, we're going to wind down. We'll take a couple more calls, try to keep them brief so we can get to a few different people here before we wrap up. Let's go to 213. Oh, no, 213.
Oh, yes, Solomon Monster. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? It's Luis, everybody. It is Luis making his return.
I meant to go
for 252. Oops. Go ahead. Go ahead, Luis.
So I see that there's a big storm in New York.
There is a big storm. Yes, there is. And I think where you are in California, you probably don't get too much snow. But we're getting pounded by it right now.
Tell me about it.
I just did. So let me ask you, I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask you every single time you call in. Did you watch AEW Dynamite tonight?
Well, let me tell you this. DirecTV is being a bitch to me. They don't want me using private internet access to access TNT or the USA Network on my Fire Stick.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no. They're being assholes to me. I just paid them $250 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. These companies can be very frustrating sometimes. So I feel your pain, and it sucks that you weren't able to watch the show, but do you have any other AEW questions or thoughts you would like to share before we move things along?
Yeah, so my question is, how much longer until we get, I don't know, Hangman Adam Page as world champion?
Probably about a year. I think it'll be a while.
I mean, I have nothing against Kenny Omega. I'm glad he's champion, but I didn't like that heel turn.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was long overdue. I'm glad they did it. You don't necessarily have to like the way they did it, but I think he's much better off as a heel. Probably gives him more people to work with. So I'm liking it so far.
I see somebody says that Luis has lockdown fever. No way.
Well, better.
No way I'm lockdown fever.
Better he has a lockdown fever than a COVID fever. You're doing okay. You're healthy, right? You're good. You're good, Luis?
Oh, I'm 100% healthy. I'm just staying away from people who have it.
Well, that's the smart thing to do. You keep doing that because we're close. Right? We're close to hopefully getting out of this, and you don't want to get sick now. I mean, that'd be like spiking the ball at the 1 yard line. You don't want to do that. So just keep doing just keep doing what you're doing.
Nah. Especially right now with intensive care units being almost full here in Los Angeles County.
That's right. That's right. Now you certainly don't want to end up in a situation like that. So fortunately, it's like that in a lot of places, unfortunately, but hopefully once we get out of this winter, it's still a few more months, but once we get out of this winter, hopefully we'll be past the worst of it, and then you can start going to wrestling shows again, right? Aren't you looking forward to that? It's been a while since you've been to a wrestling show.
Oh, yes. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. It has been a while. Survivor Series 2018, I believe.
Oh, it was a couple of years ago. Yeah. It's been, it's the last show I went to. I guess it would have been, well, I was on the Jericho cruise at the beginning of the year, and they had some matches on the cruise. So I guess for me, that would have been the last time. And before that, well, I mean, I guess the HOG shows that I was calling before everything went to hell, kind of looking forward to getting back to that. So anyway. Anything else, Luis, before we move on?
Well, that's it.
Good. Well, you have yourself.
All right, I'm going to try calling next week.
Yeah, I mean, I should be here. I don't know if I'll be doing NXT or AEW, but I'm sure I'll be around. And if I don't talk to you before then, have yourself a very Merry Christmas.
You too, Saw Monster.
Thank you very much. That was the one and only Luis. We haven't had him on the show in a few weeks. And there he is, doing the hit and run. And Bruce, I see Bruce in the chat is just mortified by some of the calls. Well, why don't you call in, Bruce? Come on, Bruce from Connecticut over here. Why don't you call in? Hold on a second here. We gotta take care of some business here. Because we have a fucking asshole in the chat. And now you're gone. See? Look how easy that is. And now you're a dick and you're fucking gone. See? Just like that. Like fucking that. You've been Thanos'd with your shitty username. Brandon Mobley, thanks for the stream as always. Great content. Let's see here. Turtlehead, I was hoping for a Luis call for Christmas. Thank you, Solemn Monster. Stay warm up there. And great show tonight, as usual. Well, thank you, Turtlehead. Let's see who we got. We got some more people on the lines here. What time is this? Almost 12:30. It's getting real. I can't even feel my. It's so cold in here. My God. I don't know why the heat's not up. I don't know why the heat's not up, man. Coldest night of the year. Why is there no heat? Let's go to 252. You're on the air.
Yeah. This bear. Remember I called, what, like 2-3 weeks ago?
Oh, I think it was during the AEW stream, right?
Yeah.
What's going on?
But yeah, I missed the show again tonight. But I just got three quick questions.
Sure.
Not related to the show, but, you know, just other questions related. But my question is, one, what do you think WWE need to do to work better? Because right now, AEW is killing them. And now they working with Impact. Impact won't nothing. And now Impact is blowing up.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they're working together. I don't know if Impact is going up. I mean, they went up one week.
That's WWE's problem. They won't work with nobody.
Well, no, they got bigger problems. Bigger problems than that, believe me. They don't have to work with anybody if they don't want to. Yeah. They got much bigger problems, far too many to get into here. But yeah, I am enjoying the fact that.
Well, I ain't gonna say Impact blowing up, but you know, like they getting a bigger name now.
Remains to be seen. Yeah, no, we'll see. It's still early, right? We haven't really gotten. Omega one-on-one yet with anybody, and if he gets in there with their world champion, then that would be huge for Impact, but we're not there yet.
I like how they're doing, you know, trying to bring back the Bullet Club.
Now, you said there was
my third question is...
Yeah, I was going to say, you said there was a second question as well.
Oh, my bad, I said third. My bad, I've been sitting a little bit tonight. But my second question was... if you had the chance to make your own Hall of Fame, there's somebody that's not in the Hall of Fame, who would your top five be?
I don't know about top five. I mean, I think of a team that I grew up with, I was a big fan of, like Demolition. You know, they should definitely be in there. And
I agree.
As far as other major, I mean, the major names are in. Like Hogan and Savage and Brett and Shawn, like they're in at this point. The Rock, obviously, he's going to go in. Undertaker is going to go in.
Obviously.
I wish they would have put people in there, like even, you know, guys like King Kong Bundy and stuff like that, because
yeah, that one I'm saying, like, you know, like people that they wouldn't put in that we would put in.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a whole list I could put together. Those are some of the names. Those are some of the names I would make sure were on there, though.
And my third question is, I see you got two belts behind you. That them the only two belts you have?
Well, those are two of the three. I have three.
What's the third one?
The old classic Intercontinental.
I had the WWE ECW version.
Oh. Of what? The ECW world title?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the silver one. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Mark Cameron had
the silver one.
Yeah, the silver one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you know what? Hold on. You know what you should do? We have a contest coming up. Wrestle Rumble does. And I'm picking a winner.
Oh, yeah.
You better get in on that.
I was looking at the last one. And yeah. I got in late.
Well, you got a few days. You still have a few days left. You go to the website and you'll see if you want to get in on it. And then they're letting me pick five winners.
Five winners.
So
yeah.
You could be one of them if you get in on the contest.
You know what belts they doing this time?
I just talked about it a little earlier. I got them on the screen right now.
Those
are the five right there. You see them on your screen.
I'm a little late. I'm like a minute late on my TV.
All right. Well, you'll see it. It'll
pop up.
It'll pop up. Yeah, it'll pop up in a second. And when we're done here, and this is going to be archived, if you want, you could just go back. I plugged this at the beginning of the stream. But anyway, let me.
I see it now. I see it now.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to...
Oh, the Smoker's Gold, the Rock Belt. Okay, I see it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at, the chat here.
I'm going to screen record this, just like I did the last conversation. You might not see my tweet on my Instagram post, but I'm going to post.
Yeah, sometimes I miss some, but... Anyway, look, I'm gonna let you go just because I want to get to one more.
You're a busy man. You're a busy man.
Well, yeah, I want
to.
I want.
How do you business?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I get to this one other guy who has been waiting for a while. But listen, thank you for the. Thank you for the call, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, take care. Yeah, we got a certain someone here who I know has been waiting for a while. A few people have been waiting for a while, actually, but I can only get to so many. But I got to take this gentleman here, 502.
Mr. Monster, I am honored.
You should be. So I'm getting...
I haven't been able to catch your stream live for a while. I've been working so hard.
Well, you know, we always get... We got to put the work in and the daily grind. We all know that feeling.
Right. Well, one thing I've been wanting to tell you was that I took your Survivor Series idea for Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
kind of expanded on it. It was a wonderful idea. It took like 3 days to watch Survivor Series from the beginning to, I don't know, I probably got to like 96 or 97 Survivor Series.
Well, it was a lot of fun, right? It was a lot of fun to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, very good idea. But I'm going to keep it quick. Just wanted your thoughts on what you think. What's next for Moxley?
What is next for John Moxley? Fatherhood, right? Fatherhood is next for John Moxley. We know that. I would think that they would get one more match out of him in Omega, maybe in February, and then once they get past that, I don't know. Who do you program him with next? I haven't really thought about what comes next after a rematch with Omega. So I'd have to see who would I want to put him in there with. He already did the Eddie Kingston thing. Him and Jericho's been done already. I don't think Sting is going to wrestle. I don't need to see him wrestle. I don't think it's, you know, Sting and Moxley. I don't know. And maybe it could be something born out of this whole partnership with Impact. It could be somebody from Impact. It could be a Sami Callihan, right? What about Sami Callihan and John Moxley? That could be a match coming out of the whole Impact AEW thing.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be doing some crossover matches. So, yeah, I was thinking maybe something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat, though. You know, I was sitting here trying to think about it tonight while I was watching Dynamite, and I was like, man, what do you... I don't know. What do you do with him? It seemed like the chase for the belt was his big thing, you know. Then he got the belt and he held the belt. Well, now what?
Yeah, I mean, he had his run. He had almost a year with it, and he doesn't need the belt. You know, he can move on to somebody else. I don't know that that's such a bad idea, actually. If they keep this Impact thing going, you know, I feel like him and Callahan, they're kind of birds of the same feather. I think those two would probably work well together doing that style of wrestling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd throw that out there as a possibility.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, yeah. And I love all my Lucha Underground people getting love, you know, these days anyway. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Wouldn't mind seeing him go against Penta. I was a big Penta mark, so, you know, I want to see Penta against everybody. So.
Yeah.
That fell from my super chat. But I'm going to go on and let you go. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Sure.
Just wanted to wish you happy holidays.
Same to you.
Hope the weather doesn't get too bad. And stay safe. All the craziness.
Yep, I'm trying. I'm doing what needs to be done so I can keep doing these streams and not be laid up in bed feeling shitty.
Right. Well, I'll catch you Sunday for sure. I'm about to go on my 3-week vacation here soon. So I'll be catching your streams the whole time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Look forward to it, man.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
All right,
let's take some final super chats here. Maybe make sure I didn't miss anybody from before. Nope. The True Heel Master, will you buy replicas of the AEW World title and IWGP heavyweight title? I think I'm done buying replicas. I don't have any place to put them. I would probably make an exception, though, for the IWGP. I'm not aware of them officially making one. But the IWGP belt is it's a beautiful belt. I mean, so is the AEW one. I think the AEW world title is a good-looking belt, too. The IWGP, though, I would make an exception for that. That would be a nice prize to have. So, you never know, right? I never figured that I would end up with the Winged Eagle that I always wanted, and there it is. So, never say never. Deadpool. Is that James? What's going on, James? Thank you for the $2. And Tyrus, do you ever think there are too many tag matches on the show? Yes. Yes. They have a lot of... But that's why I suggested the whole Trios thing. You know, I mean, at some point, Trios titles in AEW just make sense. Apparently, Tony Khan feels the same way. Do they have too many tag team matches? Yes. I think that's just the product of them having so many factions and so many people that they just try to get on the show. And maybe when they get that second show up and running next year, we might see less. But they do have a lot of tag team matches on the show. All right, guys. I'm going to head out of here. I really am freezing. Freezing. Wherever you may be, stay safe. Hopefully you're not in the middle of a snowstorm. This has been fun. We've gone 2.5 hours, so we've gone... This is one of the longer Dynamite streams that we've done. And you guys killed it tonight on the Super Chat, which I very much appreciate. I'm planning on being live again right back here tomorrow night, probably about 8 p.m. If there are any issues with me not being able to stream, I will let you guys know on Twitter. That's the place to follow. Back here again on Sunday, you're getting two podcasts. Episode 683... Earlier in the day on Sunday and Sunday night, immediately after TLC, come on over, and we'll be recapping the entire pay-per-view. We'll do the Wrestle Rumble contest, pick 5 winners. 5! For King Kong Bundy, 5! Remember when Big E was in NXT? 5! I need 5. And they took it away from him? Well, I'll be here Sunday night. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, be well, stay safe. Turtlehead in the chat says, I still love Riho. Did you see? Oh, by the way, before I end here, I saw the scans of the new series that's coming out. I guess the next set of AEW action figures. Man, I should have gotten that picture up of Riho. I don't have it, but It looks nothing like her. The scan of Riho's face. She looks nothing like Riho. I don't know who that woman is, but it's not Riho. It's a pretty awful scan. So I think that's the next set of AEW figures that are coming out. So apparently they're giving they're giving Riho her own figure, and it doesn't even look like her. But anyway, yes, we have a lot of Riho fans here. I'm just checking the chat here. Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. That means a lot. I appreciate that. All right. Join me tomorrow night and again on Sunday. And I will see you back here very soon for more Sound Off. Until then, I'm going to go get warm. I'll see you tomorrow.